He keeps throwing different things at the wall, and we know the reason why. Ted Cruz and the hard-right Republicans are holding him hostage, in effect, and right up to now, he hasn't had the courage or strength to resist them. The Speaker said there aren't the votes on the floor to reopen the government. Let me issue him a friendly challenge. Put it on the floor Monday or Tuesday. I would bet there are the votes to pass it.
Wow. So Schumer says, forget about it. I might be a Democrat, but I think you're going to have the votes in the House Republicans, to pass this clean bill, meaning not attaching it to the Affordable Health Care Act or anything else. So what do you think, America? Here we are, week two of the great shutdown, the government shutdown. It is the buzz in the backyard because people are talking about it everywhere I went over the weekend. It was at least a five-minute conversation and then on to other things like what was happening in baseball or what was happening in football this week, week five in the NFL, which, by the way, the highlights and the lowlights at the end of this show, because we do Nail the Score once a week, your chance to win incredible prizes from all of us here at America Tonight. But here's where we start. Kate P. in the House talking about, of course, the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, who said on Sunday there is no way the Republican lawmakers will agree to a measure to raise the nation's debt ceiling unless it includes conditions to rein in deficit spending. That they would not do it. So forget this whole idea of a vote. Boehner says he hung around this weekend, waited for a call from the president, and never got that call. So the Treasury Secretary is also on the warpath, saying that Congress is reckless if the debt ceiling isn't raised because it's going to lead to an economic disaster bigger than what we saw in 2008. He said, I have no leverage. I have no extraordinary measures left in my bag of tricks. The government has $30 billion of cash on hand, but it could have $50 to $60 billion positive or negative cash flow, depending on the day, saying it won't last very long, the reserves. What about paying just the interest? What happens there? Well, this is what we get stuck with when we get into these situations, and that's the problem of why our deficit is as high as it is. What happens if you can't pay Social Security? Anybody out there on Social Security or getting some of that to help pay the freight you paid in your whole life and you need that check to pay the rent? Disability, Medicare, Medicaid, veterans payments, all that kind of stuff eventually would be affected. Can we default? Will we default? Well, we can, but will we default on October 17th, anytime after that? The consequence can be huge for us, especially when it comes to the debt ceiling. That's the thing that will really kick us. At this point, it's the same old without any operating budget. We've certainly been here before for the last 10 years. In fact, we've seen the budget deadline come pass and there is no budget. So we've got a shutdown that is affecting all kinds of things, including, of course, government websites. So people who are looking for information, well, you're not going to find it on any government websites because most of them are shut down at this point. And then there are things like national parks that you're not going to be able to go to some of the national parks or see some of the monuments because they're not open. They're not open without people to man them. And the timing of that is awful for some people, especially from other areas who have come to visit the United States and just didn't realize that, oh, you mean this thing of funding the government could affect me when I'm visiting from Italy or wherever? So will the Republicans break? Will the president break? We don't know the answer to this soap opera. It's looking like both sides are really digging in. Is the president being an obstructor at this point? Is it the Republicans' fault for tying it to the Affordable Health Care Act? You know, we keep going back to the whole blame thing because we can't help it. We're a nation of blamers. So So we got to have somebody's at fault for this, right? Well, what's at fault is all those Congresses that didn't ever pass budgets and allowed us to get these tremendous deficits that kept racking up. We're spending, 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 and never really attacking it enough, not getting it, enough of it down. So Congress is talking about a trillion debt increase that's needed to get the debt and the government past the 2014 elections. That's what we would need at this point. Man, I would say, how did we get here again? But it was inevitable that we were going to get here again, because this keeps happening over and over and over again. It's the same thing. It's Groundhog Day every year. I mean, at some point, that's what it has to be. How about defunding the people who represent us? How about not allowing them to get their pay? How about figuring out a way to come to the table with some answers? Because eventually it will break the country. It will. I mean, Jack Lew's not out of his mind. It will happen. There's only so much you can do with so much cash on hand. Then you're out. Then you start to affect what you owe to others, other governments, meaning the Chinese, especially they're waving the big note over our head. And it will start to affect us if it's not already in some way. I mean, hey, you can't go to the Statue of Liberty is one thing. But now if we're talking about, look at your 401k. Or if we're talking about, oof, you went from full-time to part-time. I mean, there's a sea of change out there, but that sea of change could be in the wrong direction. Senator Cornyn from Texas keeps saying that Obama is not king. You really want to be king of this kingdom the way it is? He's saying he's not doing his job. He's not negotiating with Congress to reopen the government. This is not the way we do business here. How can he negotiate on the debt at this point? I don't think there is going to be any negotiation. The two sides aren't negotiating. They're talking around each other at this point. Boehner keeps insisting there aren't enough votes to reopen the government. You heard Schumer at the top. Take those votes. Let's see. I bet he has enough votes. I bet he doesn't have enough votes, because trust me, this is what they do. It's like wagering. They call everybody up. That's what the aides are for, and they find out who's with them and who's against them. So they know where the votes pretty much lie, unless there's a massive overnight change, which I doubt. So at this point, week 2, day 7, and beyond, of your government being closed for business, so to speak. Although the Department of Defense is bringing back a few thousand workers, at least, probably much more than that, of the 800,000 for what they would call essential work. They found a loophole. Chuck Hagel did, the Secretary of Defense, to get around it. Stay with us. We have our weekly re-rack next here on America Tonight.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources, Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, entitlements, looming Obamacare. The death of the U.S. dollar as a global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you're concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and we'll discuss your options of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metal IRA. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar crashes. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back to America Tonight. We've been talking about the rollout now of the individual health mandate as far as Obamacare is concerned, and a couple of other key things that are starting to happen to people as they realize about premiums and coverage and all that stuff mixed in between. Sonia Madison joins us now. She's a workplace attorney. We love her. She's been on the show several times from Atlanta, Georgia. Sonia, here we go. You and I have talked about the possibilities, and now it's actually happened. And you actually, you're one of your duties, or certainly what you do as an attorney, and you've spelled this out for us before, is you do things as far as labor and employment issues are concerned, and you advise employers on employment policies and labor law. In light of what's happening with Obamacare and how it's affecting companies, boy, I'm sure it varies from place to place, but what have you seen so far? What's been the reaction to what some of these companies feel like they have to do because they can't meet the minimums and all the other stuff that's required?
Well, under the law, every company who has at least 50 or more employees, and those are full-time employees, are required to cover such employees through health insurance or give them premiums so that they can then take those premiums to purchase their own health insurance. So what I've seen lately is a lot of employers relooking some of their health care packages, and one, making sure that they are in compliance, but two, looking to see if some of these insurance carriers are raising costs as a result of the marketplace for health insurance. And it's that aspect that has a lot of employees concerned, because if they are raising costs, some employers are going to decide to either reduce the number of full-time employees or reduce the number of hours for some of their part-time employees to ensure that they're truly part-time and therefore not required to be covered under the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, and you know this as an attorney, there is kind of that wiggle room thing where there's kind of an agreement, and even though some people would say, oh, you don't want to cross that line of part-time versus full-time, but I know, for example, waiters and waitresses, somebody gets an extra shift or two, and it's great because they need the money, and the boss is cool with it, the restaurant is good with it, they're like a little family. Now that family is going to have to deal with saying, sorry, we just have to keep it this way because they can't afford to get snapped by any kind of a crazy lawsuit either, can they?
Exactly, and if they're not taking the already existing part-time and ensuring to stick to a schedule, they're just going to hire more part-time employees to ensure that there is at least enough hours to keep operations open but not have to have a lot of full-time employees on staff.
Yeah. As, because this is such a specialty for you, as you see this, do you see this, just kind of stepping back for a second, in many ways, is this disastrous or is this a good thing, what's happening with the individual mandate?
I think only time will tell. As far as right now, because there's so much panic and because there's still a lot of glitches in terms of the marketplace and in terms of implementing the Affordable Care Act, right now it doesn't look good. And when you have a lot of employers just concerned about the unknown, concerned about rising healthcare costs, and concerned about having to cover so many more people than they covered initially, then initially it does look like this is not going to be a good idea. But only time is going to tell whether or not over the long term, this was a good plan to implement. It is better in the long run, and it maybe can decrease insurance costs depending on how much insurance costs or how much Medicare or health care costs does incur over the years as the Affordable Care Act continues to make its way. Also, the fact that it's not until 2015 when employers have to then provide insurance for their employees. As you know, the implementation for employers was delayed an extra year. So that does give them some time to see how the implementation of the Affordable Care Act is for the individual mandate. But even then, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see through the individual mandates how much the statewide marketplaces are and how well people are able to get affordable health care insurance through that. Because if a lot of employees do, in fact, decide to stick with their state marketplace plans, then that might decrease some of the cost for employers who have to provide insurance for their employees.
Yeah. Do you think we'll see, will we see more people trying, you know, to get caught up perhaps in lawsuits, maybe even a class action suit or two if there's some frustration with a company and what they're providing and what they're not providing? Is there a danger of that?
Probably not, just because the penalty for an employer is the tax. And so they have to be able to let the government know who they've covered and who they have not covered. Now, if they do lie to the IRS and say that they covered employees that were not, in fact, covered, then yet they're going to face potential liability in the form of having to pay all those taxes that they didn't pay, as well as having to compensate those employees for that lack of insurance that they have. But keep in mind, even individuals, they have to show that they, in fact, have some kind of coverage. So when you file another B-2 and there isn't any opportunity for you to discuss the health insurance that you've either contributed or either your employer has contributed, then as an individual, you need to make sure that you're also in compliance with the individual mandate requirements.
Yeah. When we're talking about slashing hours, in your experience, that's, you know, I mentioned the waiter-waitress thing. I know that's happening because I've talked to some people in that field, in the service field. Is it happening in a lot of high-tech companies or, you know, or is it mostly service area jobs or people that work at, like, a Home Depot and work in those kinds of fields where they could hire more people easily, in a sense, because they train them and it's a service industry kind of thing?
So far, in my experience, I've seen for the slash of the worker hours is more so in, like you said, those service-oriented positions. That was one of the reasons why the fast food strike became such national attention, because a lot of the workers were already experiencing some of what employers are doing to make sure they're compliant once they have to fulfill those Affordable Care Act requirements. So you did see a lot of people in that service industry who had to deal with either reduced hours or having to find second employment in order to fulfill those 30, 40 hours a week that they needed to be employed. But what I have seen on the flip side is a lot of employers for upper management or even for current employees who already have insurance, employers are rethinking their insurance policies. And so what you might have had at first was probably a lot more than what the minimum requirements were. Some of the employers are now trying to make sure they at least get the minimum, or they're considering just handing out the premium.
Oh, there you go. All right, Sonya Madison, thank you so much as always. Pleasure to chat with you and get some of your insight. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Kate.
All right, you just heard Sonia there, you know, talking about who are the workers most likely affected by it. It's the people who earn a little bit more than, let's say, in many cases, minimum wage or something. That's why I said the waiters-waitress thing, because I have a cousin, I think I've talked about her before, where she does that. She has her college degree, and it just made more sense for her to go into high-end service industry with kids and raising kids, and it has worked out. But now she's probably a little bit concerned, just like everybody else, because of what they're having to do at some of those restaurants across the country and other jobs that I just mentioned there. What's interesting is, like Trader Joe's, they say they're not going to provide medical coverage for part-time employees because they were before. They're going to shift them instead to the public health care exchanges, and that opened, of course, Tuesday. So some employers are saying that their health costs will rise because of the provisions of the Affordable Care Act, and Sonia was talking about that a little bit in a way there, which takes full effect in 2015. As she mentioned, they have a little bit of time, 2015. So when larger companies have to provide health benefits to full-time workers or pay a $2,000 person fine, which, you know, they don't want to have to pay that. Imagine the amounts of people working there, etc. So they're trying to see how it all comes out. So for some, it's kind of a calamity going from a part-time, full-time person essentially to part-time because of trying to avoid the possibility of these crazy penalties. They did a survey, the International Foundation of Employee Benefit Plans, that came out last month, and they found that 15% of large employers and 20% of smaller employers had to adjust hours so that fewer employees qualified for full-time medical insurance under the ACA. And even the Brookings Institute is saying, Kavita Patel, who is a fellow in the economic studies there, said the big question everyone's asking is, will it increase the premiums? That's what I keep saying. That's what many of you are calling up and saying and telling us your personal stories. I mean, if you're being dropped by your employer and you're going to the exchanges, it probably depends on how much money you make as to how much you're going to pay. So will the exchange actually be cheaper than the group markets? That's up in the air at this point, I'd say. And it depends on the state, it depends on what you're making, and a slew of other individual choices that you make, and how many kids you have, how big your family is, are you single, are you married, all that stuff in between. So I think it is a big mess. It's kind of a tangled web at this point. And I know there were some glitches when people were trying to sign up, so we'll see how that all shakes out in the next couple of weeks and actually throughout this next year. Stay with us, more to come on America Tonight.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Curious about what comes next? Next is the feeling of vulnerability you get after you arrive home to discover your house has been ransacked by burglars. Fool the bad guys with a new improved fake TV. You asked for it, we listened, and we made our new fake TV 3 times brighter than our previous model. The brightness of our new fake TV is equivalent to a 40-inch TV. It simulates the color and motion of a real TV while you're away from home. And when burglars think someone is home watching television, they're likely to pass your house and move on to an easier target. The new, brighter Fake TV is only $39.95 and includes free shipping. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Hello, I'm Steve Shank. Everybody's heard the statement that what you don't know can't hurt you. But truth is, what you don't know is the only thing that can hurt you. For example, you might not know how our country's wars can hurt you. Japanese radiation and the Gulf oil spill are destroying your seafood. People don't understand how America's 50-year worst drought is hurting them. Our natural disaster experience has proven relief organizations can't take care of the victims. And there's the huge question of how the government will feed all the people that it's promised to feed with no food. What if we made the whole country into one big neighborhood where we take care of each other by taking care of ourselves? Here's the plan. For every new EPAC 60-day food supply that you order, eFoods Direct will send a 7-day food supply to each of two families in your name, free of charge. Go to eFoodsDirect.com or call 800-876-0871. 800-876-0871. eFoodsDirect.com.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
Consumer is in no position right now to lead the country out of recession.
We look at dollars coming out of one pocket of the institution going into the other pocket. The issue is larger than, are there dollars to educate our children? The issue is, do we want to educate our children?
Welcome back to America Tonight. We've been talking about the government shutdown and what it means to you and how much money is being dumped as a result of this in different directions. So Joe Comerford is in our virtual green room, executive director of the National Priorities Project. Speaking of priorities, Joe, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, I'm so happy to be with you. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about this, the dollars and cents of it. With the government shut down and now it's rolling into a couple of days here, what is this actually? I talked about the fact that trash wasn't being collected and that would really start to add up. I have friends in D.C. and they're already getting their mask ready for this. But how much is it costing the D.C. area a day? And what's the ultimate effect on tourism? I think the tourism, it's going to be millions and millions of dollars. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the numbers are coming in fast and furious. We are absolutely talking millions in terms of lost revenue because tourists will stay out of D.C., will stay out of our national parks, you know, will stay out of other areas, cultural areas that will have to be shut down because federal dollars are no longer supporting employees in those areas. So absolutely, the short-term economic loss is really staggering. And also something to note is that President Obama, as you likely have already reported, right, called leadership from both the House and Senate together today, and it's clear that there is no deal in sight in the near future. So, you know, when we start to think about this, there's the short-term economic seizing that's happening, and then due to this just immediate loss of revenue, then we'll see a trickle-down effect where folks who are not getting paychecks will also seize up their spending, and then we'll start to see bigger and bigger losses as these days go by.
Joe, how much is this, this is something that I was trying to talk about on our previous show with people listening around the country. A thing that often isn't mentioned but is so important is because we're constantly having to kick the ball a couple yards down and a couple yards further every single time, it seems. And you know, this is the first time for the shutdown in 17 years, but there's always these emergency sessions and then a Band-Aid gets put on it. Ultimately, as we keep doing that, when Congress passes all these appropriation bills, right, as they keep pushing it and they haven't had them come in on time, then you're also cracking what would be considered almost the emergency budgeting efforts. And so what does that's costly, too, as well, isn't it?
Oh, such a good question. Yeah, absolutely. You're talking about continuing resolution. So this all started because, in fact, Congress, which has had the president's budget now for months, hasn't been able to get to the business of considering it, right? So they didn't talk about both the size of the budget, which is their first task, and they're supposed to do that in the spring, and then they're supposed to appropriate funds, both houses of Congress, and then they're supposed to get together and decide, you know, on some joint resolution that goes to the president for a signature. So none of that happened this year. And so they were starting, you know, as the clock ticked, they were starting to talk about this thing called a continuing resolution. Now, in the last 10 years in our nation, every single October 1st has come and gone without a budget. They've been funded, at least in the short term, by these things called continuing resolutions. And continuing resolutions are not terrible as standalone measures, but when you use them as a knee-jerk response to budgeting, that's when we start to get into really bad fiscal stewardship. And so what you're talking about actually has happened now 3 years in the last 10, where Congress has funded the government on these continuing resolutions. So basically never passed a budget, a true budget, for the year. And so what we have in these years, like 13, we have basically a do-over year. Now, the problem with this is that each year when the president puts a budget before the nation, he indicates some programs that aren't working, some things that could be cut, some things that could be merged for greater efficiency, and so on. And these things never come to fruition, these pieces of policy, these good ideas. And so we basically end up repeating programs that haven't been as effective as they could be for another year. So there's just a bunch of waste. And at the same time, we don't get to the good new ideas that agencies have put before the president and he's considered with the Office of Management and Budget, because in fact it's a do-over year, so we don't get to these next good ideas, which also then means that there's loss. So it's not the way to legislate. It's not the way we want Congress, who's basically charged with doing the people's business, to move our money toward local communities.
So you're not surprised when you hear with all these polls that Congress has a 10% approval rating, are you?
Oh, no. You know, I mean, I think I wouldn't want to be a member of Congress right now, right? But the nation, you know, both sides of the aisle are discontent, you know, they're discontented right now with our lawmakers. They have not been able to find a way to broker a deal that actually looks like the broadest possible electorate, right? They're charged with making a budget that represents the values of their constituents, and they haven't been able to do that.
Yeah. And so for all of us, I mean, this creams us when it comes to, and this was the first thing I emphasized, because I've been doing this a while and going to Washington and talking to Congress people, and I mean, we are just banging that same drum, like you said, 10 years, 3 in 10 with the ridiculousness, the lag. What does this do to our tax dollars? It really, to me, narrows what our influence is with our money, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, so I you're totally right to start the conversation about, you know, what's the short-term loss in terms of tourism, what's the longer-term loss in terms of, like, a seizing economy. But really, where I think we should be looking is actually at a little bit, where you're going through right now is a little bit of a higher altitude and look at the cost of art, you know, all of this kind of political lockdown and spin on democracy and our ability to feel like we can actually reach our elected officials with our priorities. You know, in 2011, for example, there were eight continuing resolutions, And in the end, they had cut $40 billion from the budget, just chipping away at them. But I'll be darned if, you know, if the average American could have weighed in meaningfully, because it was all so convoluted and so fast-moving. It just shakes us loose from the political process. And I think one of the impacts is that folks believe that there's nothing they can do that's going to actually make a difference to turn this around. And my hope for this political moment is that enough Americans, thanks to good members of the media like you, think, no, wait a minute, my payroll and income taxes are 80% of the government's revenue. I have a stake in this. And then we make our voices heard more directly with lawmakers. And we stay engaged to hold Congress accountable. I actually think it's the only thing that's going to turn this around is a really informed, engaged, and active and loud electorate.
Oh, I so agree with you. I say it all the time. Just remember, it's we the people. That's the Declaration of Independence. We elect the people representing us, and we have that
exactly.
voice. And, you know, I've talked to lots of people in Congress that say, the aides say anyway, that you get 25 calls or emails on the same subject. Boy, they start to listen because they want to get reelected, and they have to listen to their constituents. So it's not the time to bury your head in the sand, certainly not. Tell us more about the National Priorities Project.
Well, we're nationalpriorities.org, so it's IES, nationalpriorities.org. We're a national nonpartisan federal budget research organization. You know, we like to think of ourselves as the people's guide to the federal budget. We both tell folks where their tax dollars are going every year, and then we tell us all how our taxes are spent in our local communities, what kinds of programs get federal spending in our states and our counties, congressional districts, school districts. And we love to hear from constituents. We love to answer questions. It's why we work. So we, you know, we're going to, of course, track this government shutdown fairly closely, like everybody else, trying to make sense of it. And we're also doing some advocacy with members of Congress, trying to actually get them to talk more about wanting to hear from constituents and really raising up this notion of a failed democracy unless we can actually do the people's business in an open and transparent and actually predictable way, which is, you know, as we talked about, not happened in 10 years, certainly. And, of course, we've had other periods longer than 10 years in recent times where Congress has been in this kind of lockdown. But right now this is our current malaise that we're talking about.
Yeah, so, how bad will the malaise be if we smash our head into the debt ceiling on the 17th?
Yeah, you know, this is it. I think this is a prelude. This is a prelude, and this is why I'm really hoping that your listeners will call the local district offices, which are more likely to be open than the D.C. office, and really ask their members of Congress to get a budget passed. Because, in fact, if this crisis, if this nightmare, this, you know, Congress-made, people-made nightmare continues and hits the debt ceiling, we are really in trouble as a nation. This is nothing. You know, the kind of, and I don't mean to minimize people's own economic woes here. I don't. I take them really seriously. But, oh, my goodness, if we default on our credit, globally, we will cause a kind of chaos that we're seeing now in local communities as, you know, as government workers aren't able to go to work and don't get a paycheck and tourism grinds to a halt, all of that, that will be the kind of, that's a microcosm for the kind of enormous upheaval America's default on its credit will have.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, absolutely. We can't allow that to happen. If you're listening to us and you don't know who the representative is or how to get a hold of them, call me. I've got all that information, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. This was great. Joe Comerford, Executive Director of the National Priorities Project. We look forward to talking with you again here on America Tonight.
Oh, I'd love to be with you again, and thanks so much. And folks, go to nationalpriorities.org and ask us questions if you need answers. We'd love to be with you, and we're really grateful for this show.
Excellent. Have a great night. Thanks, Joe.
Sure. You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info. Or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256. Or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. You've thought about it for years. Well, the time is now. You need a secret bunker, and you need it deep and strong. Atlas Survival Shelters should be your first and only choice. The experts at Atlas can help you choose a shelter that has all the comforts of your home and is 11 times stronger than square box shelters. Call Atlas at 1-855-4-BUNKERS. 1-855-4-BUNKERS. Or visit IWantThatBunker.com. Atlas Survival Shelters. Better prepared than scared.
Andrew gives it to Donald Brown. Touchdown! Donald Brown gets in for the score. And the Colts, with 8:55 to go, lead it 29-28.
Setting up the screen for Thomas. Here, Thomas with a convoy in front. Gets the
inside the 15 to the 10. He's to the 5. Diving into the end zone. Touchdown, Saints. Touchdown, Pierre Thomas.
Here's Dan. Good protection. Throws it upside. He's got a man wide open. Down the sideline for the Packers. Into the clear. And it's
to Bradford at the 9. He takes, settles, looks, fires to the end zone, wide open, touchdown Austin Pettis.
On second down, snaps to Rodgers.
4-yard connection from Sam Bradford, and Pettis has his third touchdown of the season.
Brady in the shotgun, two receivers left, two to the right. Tom takes the shotgun snap, drops back to the 35, fires toward the end zone.
Intercepted
by Adam Jones. He's got it at the 3-yard line.
Job of the gun on 3rd and 12 at the San Francisco 27. No backs. Here's a blitz. Matt throws it quickly. It's picked off. Jerron Eddy to his right, and he's down at the 30-yard line as Schaub throws his third interception of the night.
Kaepernick starts pistol. Bolden motions back into a alongside Kaepernick. Kaepernick takes the snap. Boy stays in the block. Kaepernick throws it out to the far side. Got Vernon down the far side. 40, 30, turns down the speed, and he is gone.
Second and 16 at their own 14. Romo back, sets,
throws it out, intended for Escobar to pick off at the 25-yard line. The first interception of the day for the Denver Broncos comes at the wing stop, 2 minute warning, on a pass just slightly underthrown for Escobar.
Yeah, kick on the way. And Denver is 5-0. As Matt Prater bangs it through from 28 yards out.
Oh, yeah, what a week in the NFL. Great job, Matt Johnson, with the re-rack there. Some really high highs and some low lows, no doubt. Kate Delaney America tonight. Matt, you spent the weekend kind of sequestered in the man cave watching sports, and, you know, we didn't even touch baseball. But as far as football was concerned, I'll tell you what, the Broncos-Cowboys game was crazy. What a shootout that was. 51-48 Broncos, and Tony Romo looked the best I've ever seen him, but he threw that interception with a couple of minutes to go, and the tide turned in the favor of the Broncos.
Yeah, and I mean, you really can't blame that on Tony Romo because,
nah.
I mean, we both said this off-air that I don't think we've ever seen a performance like that from him. Sure, he throws the one pick, and it's late in the game, so everyone's going to say how he choked, but his defense gave up 51 points. And he scored 48. So, I mean, you can't really blame that on him. He was throwing the ball all over the field. He looked very in command, in control. He's matching Peyton Manning, who's having the best season ever. I mean, Brett Favre in 09, Drew Brees in 09, Tom Brady in, what was that, 07. He's blowing them all out of the water. I mean, he's just, Peyton Manning is on fire right now. And Tony Romo matched him, you know, every single drive. So I don't think you can blame Tony Romo at all for that loss. It's all on Monty Kiffin and the defense.
Yeah, I agree. Because where was the defense in that one? And it's funny, it's like two different Manning brothers, because then Eli Manning in New York, boy, New York starting the season 0-5. That's unheard of, unbelievable. Philadelphia beats them, and they are looking for cover somewhere. I think their coach is going to get fired if this keeps up. Tom Coughlin.
I mean, the one thing Coughlin has going for him, though, is he's gone through this stretch before in New York where, you know, he won the first Super Bowl, then they got down, and then they came back again, won another Super Bowl. So he has this kind of roller coaster cycle where he'll hit rock bottom, and everyone thinks he's going to get fired. Then the next year he comes back, they're in the playoffs, and he ends up going to the Super Bowl. I mean, I don't think he'll get fired, but you never know. It's the NFL. Things, you know, it's the what have you done for me lately league. But I think the two Super Bowls, especially against Patriot teams that were very good too, you got to give them a little credit and have at least another season to turn it around.
Yeah, so the Eagles beat them 36-21. I don't know, because 0-5, that's a rough start. New York is pretty tough. They may forgive Tom because of the previous wins, the Super Bowl wins. Not sure, but the thing that's interesting on the other side of the ball with Philadelphia is Nick Foles comes in. He replaces Michael Vick, who gets injured, and they win. So they come up with their second win of the season. That happened late in the second quarter. He had four big drives through two fourth quarter touchdowns that made a big difference. It'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah.
If he comes back, what happens if he comes back and whatnot?
Yeah, I mean, I think Vic still is going to be the starter, but this is what you have when you have the offense Chip Kelly runs and the dynamic quarterback Michael Vick is he never makes it through the season. So you always have to have that awesome backup, and Nick Foles looks like he's it. And, you know, maybe later down the line, they'll do what Atlanta did with Schaub and trade him for, I think they got a second-round draft pick from Houston out of it. But speaking of Houston, what a poor day for Texas football fans in general. You have the Cowboys in a nail biter going down, and then the Houston Texans just getting destroyed by the 49ers. And Matt Schaub looking extremely shaky.
Yeah, no kidding. I thought it was crazy, too. Like you said, a very tough day in Texas. How about the fact that we didn't talk about baseball, but I want to throw in some baseball here. The Dodgers beat the Braves, take a 2-1 lead in the National League Division Series, and the Pirates get past the Cardinals, so they have a lead in their series, too. The Dodgers heading into this, you know, Don Mattingly, as of June, looked like he was going to get fired. He was really close, and they slammed the Braves 13-6. That was a Sunday game, And so the fact that they have this leg up is good because I think they'll need it. But, boy, L.A. is looking really, really good all the way up and down their lineup.
I am so intrigued by the National League right now. I love the Pirates. I love their squad. And I like, I mean, they got a bunch of ex-twins on it, so that helps too. But then the Dodgers lineup in general, they just have some of the most dynamic players. I mean, Yasiel Puig is the most exciting thing going in baseball right now. And Hanley Ramirez, I can't remember what the stat is, but he has like 6 or 7 extra base hits so far in the postseason. It's some kind of record. I can't remember what it is, but he is just absolutely on fire, and he's hitting doubles and triples all over the place. And that squad is super fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree. It's been a fun postseason so far, and I think it's going to just keep getting more and more interesting.
The nail biter too, between Detroit and Oakland.
Yeah.
Where it was, you know, 1-0 walk-off. The last time a 1-0 walk-off happened was when my Twins in 1991 won the World Series in 1991 against the Atlanta Braves.
Wow, what a random stat that is. What an interesting stat, for sure. You know, it's funny heading into this, too. So many people looking at the Tigers and Miguel Cabrera, and what was going to happen. And, I don't know, the Red Sox pounding the Rays again, 7-4. They're looking good. The A's are hanging in. It's interesting. This postseason's not totally predictable, I don't think.
It's not. I know there's a lot of different storylines. You have, you know, the scrappy Rays going against, you know, Boston, one of the premier markets in baseball. Detroit with all their pitching, their lineup, going against, you know, the Moneyball team of Oakland. I love that Oakland has the worst stadium in baseball, but their fans are absolutely crazy, and they're so into the game. The atmosphere there is really fun, and they play a ton of music. The fans are always going nuts. So I like the playoff baseball in Oakland. And then, I mean, the Pirates, the scene at PNC Park has just been absolutely unbelievable. They've waited, you know, 20-some years, 22 years, I think, to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, for something to happen, yeah.
They're talking about, like, if you're 30 and under, this is the first time the Pirates have ever been in the playoffs in your life. I mean, that's just unbelievable.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy to think that never once, not just
and,
even eking in.
I mean, they're the big underdog. They're the wild card team coming in. They have to win against Cincinnati to play, hey, the best team in the National League, the St. Louis Cardinals. And they're up 3-0 against them.
Yeah, crazy. Absolutely crazy. One quick note here, back to football for a quick second. The Vikings get a 1-year deal with the Bucs' former quarterback. What'd you think of them picking up Freeman? $3 million. I think that was, I'm going to say it's a pretty smart move. They needed to do something, so why not?
I love this move for one thing. One, it's a 1-year look at a starting quarterback that you can throw on the squad, and it also definitely signals the end of Christian Ponder.
Good for Josh Freeman, probably good for the Vikings too as well. All right, thanks for listening to this Hour of America tonight.
Silver understands that mainstream medicine and the rising cost of health care can financially destroy any family. We simply cannot afford to get sick. The only option is to stay healthy. Americans are learning that ill health is not caused by a deficiency of drugs. It's usually the result of a deficiency of minerals, vitamins, proper nutrition, and exercise. UtopiaSilver.com offers colloidal silver and healing protocols for vaccine and radiation poisoning, arthritis, insomnia, and more. If you're sick of unconstitutional government mandates, then stand up now and say no. The time is growing short to put this evil genie back in its bottle. Join Utopia Silver in promoting good health and fighting for our God-given health care rights. Visit UtopiaSilver.com, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.